From the Center for Investigative Reporting and PRX, this is Reveal. I'm Al Letson. This year, we've been watching what may be the largest sexual abuse scandal in sports history unfold. Larry Nassar, doctor for the USA Olympic gymnastics team, abused hundreds of girls and young women he was supposed to be treating. One judge sent him a powerful message when she sentenced him.
Sir, I'm giving you 175 years, which is 2,100 months. I've just signed your death warrant.
Nassar got even more time this week in another trial. So far, more than 200 women have testified against him. In this moment of Me Too and Time's Up, it's still staggering to see Nassar held accountable, but getting justice in child sex abuse cases years after the fact isn't easy, and it's not that common. Tennessee Watson, an independent radio producer, knows this from personal experience. We first aired her story in 2016, and we had to bring it back now because of everything that's happening.
Good. Do it again. One time. Right away.
Tennessee's story starts with a home video, recorded when she was just a kid in the 1980s, taking gymnastics in a Virginia suburb.
Stand up and do some cartwheel.
This video of me is from one of my private lessons with my gymnastics coach, Parvez Yousefi. Back when this recording was made, I was about 7 years old, and he was in his 40s.
That's good. Step.
I was a spunky little kid with a lot of attitude. I'd go to school dressed up in tights and an oversized off-the-shoulder t-shirt.
That's it.
I have this tape because my dad brought our camcorder with us one day to the gym. I'm out on the floor, and Yousefi is behind the camera, filming me doing cartwheels.
Okay, do cartwheel now, Tenny.
You might hear that he has an accent.
Go.
He's originally from Iran, and he's calling me by my nickname, Tenny. I always felt uncomfortable and uncertain around him. I liked the special attention he gave me, but his critiques could be harsh.
Do it again.
Again?
Make it faster. Good. Do it again. One time. Right away.
He said I wasn't disciplined enough and needed to learn focus. He offered to give me one-on-one lessons, which sounded fun. I imagined having the giant trampoline all to myself. It also meant I would spend time alone with him. It was during those lessons that the sexual abuse began. I don't know exactly how long it went on, but I knew it felt bad and wrong. To make it stop, I pretended to lose interest in gymnastics, and we stopped going. I never told anyone, not until I was grown up, because I was scared it was somehow my fault. I carried my secret for years and years, and eventually, I told the police.
Tennessee is going to take us along on her journey, from victim to survivor to reporter. She investigated her own story and recorded everything that happened for years, documenting her decision to report her coach and what happened when a police detective and a prosecutor took on her case. We should warn you, there will be a description of the abuse. This is not a story for all listeners.
As I got older, what happened would occasionally come to mind, and I knew it wasn't right, but I didn't know what to do about it. When I was in my mid-20s, I was working as a radio producer, and I started making recordings of myself.
It's now 12:33 on November 10th. I guess it's really hard to figure out where to start.
I think it was a way to coax myself into going public about the abuse.
I have all of the lights on in my apartment. I've sort of like checked all the nooks and crannies to make sure that there's no one hiding here, and
I couldn't make myself say exactly what had happened out loud. It was hard enough just to say something happened.
It's kind of scary to record it and document it and make it permanent, but it's really important.
I put those recordings on a shelf. A couple years later, my dad came to visit me in Washington, D.C., where I'd gone to live.
Every time you've come to visit me, I've thought about having this conversation, and something else better always comes along.
Mm-hmm.
I'd already told my dad that Yousefi had sexually abused me. I'd called him and told him on the phone back in college. Not any details, just that it happened. He'd asked me what I wanted to do about it, and at that point, I didn't know. But now, I needed his help to deal with it.
And I would really, part of me would really just rather avoid this topic for the rest of my life, but I can't avoid it. You know, okay. It always comes up again and again.
Yeah, I, you know, I don't know how you... I don't know how you let go of it.
My dad's an ex-journalist in his early 70s. I usually call him by his first name, Bill. My mom died when I was 16. So since then, it's just been me and Bill.
Since I called you and told you, has it come up? I mean, do you think about it?
Yeah. Yeah, I will. In a way, you can't help but feel sort of like you failed as a father. Your whole job is to protect your daughter. And you missed this. You missed it completely. So I kind of want to take it and put it away. Just take that failure and put it away. But you can't.
Yeah.
I wanted to confront what had happened head on. I asked my dad to help me take the first step, to find out if the gym was still open.
I wonder if it even exists
anymore. I don't know, I've never looked it up.
That night, we went for it.
I gotta do it, you know?
Gotta do it, okay.
All right. GMS. Gym. Gymnastics. They have a website. Should we click on it?
Sure.
GMS Kids. Oh my God. Please don't have a picture of him on there. My eyes are closed. If you see him, will you let me know so I don't have to look?
As I typed, my dad was sitting across the room.
God.
He got up to put his hand on my shoulder, and we peered at the screen together.
Should we click on staff bios?
Sure.
Oh God.
Yousefi was still running the gym in Manassas, Virginia.
I'm cringing right now. I'm cringing.
It was almost midnight, but my dad and I decided to drive out there.
You want to come?
Yeah.
The gym was in the same cinder block building, tucked behind some big box stores. I stood in front of it wondering, how could somebody who did what he did to me still be in business 25 years later?
Looks just like it did 20 years ago.
Yeah.
Two decades. What I'm thinking is, it's the same thing still happening.
I wondered that too. Was Yousefi still abusing kids? How many other people like me were out there trying to deal with what he'd done to them? I wasn't ready to confront him. I was still afraid about how people would react, how he would react. Right after this visit to the gym, I moved to New York City. The distance took some pressure off me to decide what to do. It took me 3 years to take the next step. I learned that he started another side business, working with disabled kids one-on-one, doing something called sensory motor integration therapy. I called Yousefi and said I was doing a documentary on healing and injury, on how childhood injuries can affect us as adults. I asked if I could interview him, and he invited me to the gym. When I arrived, there were a couple parents in the waiting area and a handful of kids on the floor, bouncing on trampolines, rolling around on those giant exercise balls. Yousefi walked out with a kid to the waiting area and then brought me back to his office. It was filled with thank you cards and kids' art. He looked the same as I remembered, Still super fit, but now with more gray hair.
Thanks.
Okay, you said you want to record everything.
Yeah.
All right.
Well, I'm a radio producer, so. Mm-hmm. And I might.
When I got a note.
Yeah.
And then said, Watson, because I had a.
You probably knew me as Tenny, though. That might have been what you.
Jenny Watson.
Tenny.
Tenny Watson, probably.
Yeah.
I focus on my audio recorder, getting good levels, and that keeps me from totally freaking out. I started asking him about old wounds and healing, hoping he'd say something that would give me a way to bring up the abuse.
If there are certain patterns that are set from the time that you're a kid, and then as an adult, how do you sort of disrupt that and can you, like, rework yourself so that you're more integrated and physically function better?
Depends on how much fear you created. If you psychologically scarred by those injuries, it's so difficult to go back to the same. Like someone from diving, for instance, height involved, speed involved, for instance. Like on the high bar, giant has lots of speed, right?
If someone, I kept the interview going, sizing him up. We talked about a lot of different kinds of injuries, but I never brought up the abuse. After that day, seeing him in a gym full of kids, I realized this was bigger than what I could handle on my own. I felt like I had no choice. I had to call the police and tell them what I knew. I wasn't calling to press charges. I didn't even know if what my coach had done to me was technically illegal.
Good morning, Sergeant Brown. I got your phone number from the...
I called someone at a special victims unit in Virginia.
And my name is Tennessee Watson, and I'm calling to report a crime. So, yeah, if you could give me a call back, that would be great.
When Tennessee left that message, she had no idea if anyone would even call her back. But that phone call set off a big chain of events, which is where we'll pick up her story in a minute. You're listening to Revealed.